The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. Go ahead, Leroy.
So I've been going back and forth in this chat. And they were like, not true, Leroy. Most successful teams have a quarterback, except for the three retreads that are sitting up top. Right?
Crazy times right now.
Huh?
I said crazy times right now.
Right. And lots of teams don't have good lines. That's not accurate. All of the good teams have good lines. I don't know where you get this information from, right? You just want to say stuff to make your point. But if you look at all the teams that have won the Super Bowl recently, they've all either had a really good offensive line, a really good defensive line, or both. That's not up for debate. When Patrick Mahomes won his last Super Bowl, that defense was dominant up front. The Eagles last year, dominant on both sides of the ball. So I don't know what the hell football you watching, but all the successful teams have a good offense and defensive line. Periodically want to get through, like Joe Burrow. And they got that false sense of security thinking their offensive line was good enough. And that dude has been getting killed ever since. So, no, there aren't a lot of teams. There's guys that have gotten hurt. When you look at the Chargers, they're banged up. They lost two of their offensive linemen, right? They're struggling. They win in games, but they are struggling offensively. You just play the team that can't sack you when they get their arms around you. So don't look at the results and come to that conclusion. Because every coach will tell you, we can't win nothing without either an offensive, defensive line, or both. That's factual around football.
I think if you do want to relate it to the Tua thing, though, it has been interesting. Like, a lot of the reports that have come out around Mike McDaniel's job security, like, there's been a lot of, like, thrown in the nuggets of, oh, he's a quarterback who can't get hit because, you know, of all of his injury past, you know, specifically the concussion stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that they're trying to wonder is, like, are the Dolphins drawing up plays even more so because they're paranoid about Tua getting hurt? And even if you looked at, like, the Jets game, were they, like, you know, when Kiko Maui-Noah nearly takes his head off, are they thinking to themselves, kind of dodged a bullet there?
No, because here's what you do, okay? And you can go to the team that he just left, and they play a very similar style of football, okay?
Who just left?
The San Francisco. Oh. I'm saying when he was in San Francisco. They do a very similar style offense, all right? It's just done better because they have better protection. And I would say that CMC, Achane is equivalent or if not better than CMC.
Currently.
No, currently. Not what he's done. I'm just saying right now. Right? But they do very similar plays and stuff like that. It's just that because they've had success, it only looks like a failure here, but it's very similar. My thing is that when you have success doing something, you have to incorporate it into your offense to at least keep the defense honest. I don't know why they didn't roll Tua out last week. I really don't. It was one of the things that kind of caught me off guard because I thought, okay, they had some success doing it. This is going to be a part of their offense. Not all the time, but it's a way of kind of helping that offensive line out when you can roll them out and just have them build a wall. instead of having to be. I'm gonna tell you what, Savaya Nye, if you one on one up front on the guy, that's what I'm doing. And when they drop to a straight back, they're asking him to block one on one. And then, God forbid, they should run any kind of stunt up front. Oh my goodness.
He's it's bad right now. Again, and the other thing is, like, it's not just him, but I think that it has always been him no matter what. Like, even when the team was good, people were wondering if he was good enough to get them over the top. And now they're one of the worst teams in the league. And he hasn't been good this year. Even in the plays that he's had time, like, he hasn't been as crisp this year. He's turned the ball over a ton. His decision-making, particularly at the end of games, hasn't been good, but it's also a very poorly built team. It's built in shambles. It's all just kind of caving in on itself. The line's built with a bunch of bums. The defense, it's true. They're built with a bunch of bums.
Was supposed to be a strength, can't do, stop nobody.
The defense gives up points. Bum. The defense gives up points more than they don't. Like, that's, you're basically, it's more than a 50-50 chance that when you take the field against the Dolphins defense, you're putting up at least three. Every drive.
All running for 200.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're so bad. And, you know, it just, but you don't look around the roster and you're just like, I don't really look at it and be like, oh, they're greatly underperforming. Like, yeah, there's some good players like Achan and Waddle and some, but those are the names. Like, you probably can count them maybe on, like, less than two hands of the guys that, like, how many other teams would really want these guys on their team?
Right.
There's not that many. And that's just the facts of it, you know? But and
before, my thing is, before you evaluate one player, don't you have to look at all those things? Right? We're just making it sound like, and this is what I'm trying to get away from, that if I change one piece, this team would be much better. Right? The way we tend to go after Tua is, if he was different, then everybody else would be different. And when you look at this team as a whole, that's not entirely true. And so before we start evaluating the end result, and that is Tua, do we have to?
Well, I think this is the thing, Leroy. Like, yeah, he's not the only problem, but I think the thing that is the truth, and when he goes out a couple of years ago, I was like, hey, the market's the market. You got to pay a quarterback $50+ million. That means you got to cover up some holes. Not all. Right now we're at a place where there's too many holes. I'm not asking the guy to block a typhoon coming in. You know, like, it's impossible with this team. This team sucks. But I think there are moments in game where you're like, hey, can you make a play here? And he's come up small. He hasn't, you know, there's been other ones, but there's been, in fairness, the last two games, he has come through. And his defense did not. His defense screwed the pooch.
So
which just leads to, they're just in totality a really rat ass team.
I'm also a realist, and people saying yes, and Lewis says yes, having a great quarterback can make the team different. I'm convinced Leroy has CTE. No, Leroy has played on a team that understands, yes, a great quarterback can make a difference. Okay, but let's be clear. How many great quarterbacks are in the NFL right now? Five? Six?
What was the question?
How many great quarterbacks are in the NFL?
One.
You said one.
You're just giving it to Mahomes, that's it?
That's it.
Nobody else gets to be on the list?
So my reality...
Josh Allen stunk the last 2 weeks.
I'm just saying, a lot of these quarterbacks that we think are great have not played well.
My reality... versus what everybody thinks, okay, is that you may get a great quarterback in the draft, but more than likely you're not. You're going to have to find somebody who's good enough, who's competent enough, and build a team around him. Right? That's the reality of this sport. Right? You got right now, you have teams that are leading divisions and have best records in the NFL that have a quarterback that their last team threw away as garbage.
Well, here's the thing, though, is when you get that, that's kind of the cheat code right now, though. Because in a salary cap sport, when you got to spend $50 million plus on a quarterback, you're not going to have the places to plug in and have the budget to plug in other places. So if I have Baker Mayfield on a prove it deal for a couple of years, or Sam Darnold on a get right deal for a couple of years, like, it's almost like getting a guy on a rookie deal again. You're not expecting the same things. It's just not as lofty anymore. And so, like, the guys you could really pay, I guess the question is, like, how many great quarterbacks there are? Yeah, maybe you say it's five, but how many quarterbacks could you really pay $50+ million to and your team's going to be all right?
Four.
Like, that's becoming the real question about it.
But here's the other thing. Like, sometimes you get lucky, right? Sam Darnold going to the Vikings, he was supposed to be a backup. He got paid to be a backup, and the starter got hurt, right? So you kind of fell into that situation.
But what does he even make now? Like, what is his new contract?
He's like making 35,
like,
38
yeah, 35.
Million.
That's a lot of difference. That's a big difference.
That's two more players. That's another offensive lineman.
Tobin's right. Like, the formula now is either you draft the quarterback, in the, you draft him, get him for 5 years, have him before you have to pay him. You have money and you surround him with a lot of talent, or you get the reclamation project. Put the right personnel in the right court. That's the thing about these guys. But, Leroy, you're right.
Right.
These guys get drafted in bad situations. I know that firsthand. And what happens is they fail, and then everybody puts all, you know, the bus narrative on them. Then they get around real coaching, guys who are going to develop them. And if you talk, look at Baker went to what? He went to L.A., right, for the Rams.
Carolina.
He went to – no, but before Carolina – I mean, he went to Carolina, but he went to the Rams. That little time with McVay, boom, he went to Tampa. Look what he's doing. Darnold. Right. Darnold went to Minnesota, right?
Quarterback guru.
Quarterback guru in O'Connell. He shined.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Daniel Jones.
Same thing with Daniel Jones. So
can
now
I the, say this?
So is the question is that are the Dolphins coaching staff –
here's, and I'm gonna ask you this, and you can ask everybody.
Are they not
this.
Developing the players?
Guess
well?
What? The Giants did it, right? They brought in reclamation projects, two of them.
But they also drafted a guy. Like, there's not that big investment there. Like, that's the thing is all these, like, how many teams right now are good that are paying their quarterbacks a ton of money? And I'm looking right now, I mean, like.
It's at least six because Detroit's playing Goff.
Detroit's paying Goff. Like, yeah, there's probably like.
Philadelphia's paying Hurts. Buffalo and Kansas City.
Buffalo's paying Josh.
Lamar's paying. Baltimore's paying Lamar.
Well, Baltimore stinks, though.
I mean, but that's just this season right now.
I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about what's been, what's done, the accomplishments. I'm talking about right now. You got Jacksonville, who's got a good record because they're paying. Finally, Blondie's decided not to screw the pooch.
Sunshine.
Yeah, but they paid him on hope it works out.
I know they did. I'm just saying right now, he's getting paid a boatload of money. They got a winning record.
Dallas.
You know,
Dallas is
2-3,
dude. I'm not putting them on the list.
But I'm just saying
he's doing well.
They're paying their quarterback a ridiculous amount. Like, he's getting $60
million. We're talking team success, though. I'm not saying they're playing well.
You know who's going to be the next quarterback that we might have the same conversation with? Houston.
She dished out, yeah.
He's about to be up.
He's still got two more years. This is his third season.
I'm just saying, now you start talking about it.
Right.
So that and they're not very good right now. So
the difference with Tua, the thing with Tua that plenty of skeptics were worried about. I'm not talking about even coming into college, because I know you had worries about that, but the thing that was worrisome with investing in him, and it was the nightmare scenario last year, is you paid him and he had a past of head injuries. And what happened the second week of the season? Boom, he's out for a month.
Correct.
You know, and you can't treat him like other guys because when Tua has a head injury, you know you got to keep him out because he's had a past of it. So that's the other conundrum that they face with that stuff. We got to take a break.
Well,
we can get back into it. We just got to take a break. Yeah. More to come here on the show. Back after this.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy back with you here. Got a busy night here on the station on FM 104.3. You got Panthers and Red Wings. First of a couple of back-to-backs. Cats got the Devils tomorrow night. Oh, sorry, Cats. Got to go to New Jersey. Oof. It's never fun. What? Don't look at me like that.
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Kind of give me that. Like,
the only reason why you wanted the people looking at you that way because you have questions what you said yourself. Nobody looked at you any kind of way.
I feel how I feel about New Jersey. What do you want me to do?
That's fine. Okay. Ain't nobody say nothing.
All right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members Rush just announced their 50-something tour. You want to see them? Grab a chance for you and a guest to win a flyaway to see the legendary band at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The prize includes tickets to the show, round-trip airfare, and a two-night hotel stay. Don't miss out. Enter now at WQAM.com. This is a national contest.
I'm upset at you now.
Why?
I played Rush earlier.
I just got this liner. I just got this liner.
Right when I played Spirit of Radio,
I apologize. Jeez. You can play another Rush song.
He don't know the bit.
I just got the liner. How long did I get this liner? I just got it like an hour ago. I just saw it. Just said ASAP, read this, but I just saw it. I was listening to Mike McDaniel ramble, and I was like, oh, here he goes, you know?
See, something got you in the bad mood, and now you're
Well, I can't.
You're smashing out.
It's one in five.
I couldn't hear him.
One in five, yeah.
It's not one in five.
A lot of the conversations we having are one in five conversations.
I told you this that 2 weeks ago when you were one in four.
I'm a compartmentalizer. I can live happiness in my life, and I can be upset about other things and also be upset about one in five.
Doesn't sound like it.
I can.
I find myself... with like
you're more ornery with people.
I find myself getting very annoyed.
I don't think so.
At football, because I just think that sometimes you get caught up in we need to do what we're doing better, and we need to do something to win.
Mm.
Right? I'll tell you. I remember experiencing this early in my career because. Bernie,
hey bro,
Kosar was a guy who could see what was going on the field and deviate from the plan a little bit by tweaking a route or two on the go, in the huddle, right? So I remember, and Bill wanted structure because he was a new coach, and he wanted everybody on the same page and then go from there. Both very good, like, listen, both ideologies I'm fine with. I just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bernie would draw up a play and Bill would see that wasn't the play he called, then we would all get the look because he wanted structure. But we was all happy that we were winning or having success. So how do you, like, mix the two? Because what ended up happening is Bernie got released and Vinny was our quarterback. And I couldn't blame any party for wanting to do things that way.
Mm.
There has to be some kind of
meet
in the middle.
I gotcha. This is Mike McDaniel did address the Tua thing once again, but says this is it. Not addressing it anymore.
Until tomorrow.
Until we get Tua's comments on it, and then you'll answer some more questions, Mike. Here was McDaniel a few minutes ago.
As players have come back for the week of practice, do you still see Tua's comments as an internal topic, or did he address it with teammates and everyone's kind of set it behind them now?
Yeah, that's the first, last, and only thing if I have anything to say about it, and I did in several meetings today, is the Cleveland Browns and our focus within that regard. Absolutely, he communicated with his teammates both in a in group and individually, and there's much bigger fish to fry in our team's opinion, in my opinion.
So that was earlier today, or
there was Monday, and I know he's talked to some of the guys that he didn't catch on Monday today, but I think the we have plenty to occupy our minds with our football play versus what will be a motivated Cleveland Browns team on the road.
Mike is left.
All right, there you go, Mike McDaniel. It's the only thing I'm going to say about it.
5 seconds
just
later,
keeps going. Just,
I mean, like
in every meeting he had today,
you try to be respectful when guys ask questions.
Oh, he was very respectful.
I would get annoyed at the prying. Well, right?
Blame your quarterback.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, you want me to respect you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That works both ways.
If one more question was asked, if he said, did he get everybody an edible arrangement, as in I'm sorry, that would have been too many.
Right, but you understand what I'm saying. You. It's like you want us to respect your questions, but you won't respect anything that I say.
Wow, buckle
up. And sometimes I've seen guys get really upset about that, and I'm not mad at them.
No, buckle up for Tua's presser. That one's going to be a doozy.
Yeah.
You know Tua took a shot at Mike when he was saying that on Sunday.
I think that
– I thought he was talking about him and other players being –
No,
leaders.
Because I'm going to tell you why. The key word to me was mm-hmm. when he said articulate.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
See, I thought that Mike was taking a shot at Tua yesterday.
When it was asked, he said
– This is 1 in 5 right here, boy.
Yeah. No, I know this is 1 in 5, but it's like when he said, yeah, we're not articulating. Well, I'm like, well, then who's not articulating? Like, who's not talking? And to me, the person who, you know – I know we talk about it, we joke about it, but sometimes after when you're losing, you might not want to be hearing Mike McDaniel and his 2 minute answers.
Or I understand.
His 2 minute diatribe.
I can't say that you're wrong.
So I thought he was taking a shot at him, like saying we're not getting the message, or the message is not being conveyed very well to the players.
See, I thought that McDaniel was taking a shot at Tua when he was asked about it yesterday. And he goes, "Oh, you guys can ask him, and he'll be candid."
And I
could see it as a shot more than the other way.
But yes, like, it is 1 in 5, Leroy. It's 100% 1 in 5. Yeah. But you know that's why don't give more chum in the water. Like that's why shut up.
I know. I know some guys can only be who they are, regardless of what the circumstances are. And then it becomes a lot of moments where you say time and place, but you're always that no matter what, right? So, you know, the difference between being 5-1 and 1-5 is those same answers come with a smile and everybody giggles, right? Mm. That's it. So, man, it's just a tough spot to be in for everybody. And the only thing they can do is play better, everybody, you know, and what, here's an indication of what you think of your team. And I want you guys to tell me the last time you saw this. I was like, uh-oh, at the coin toss. Y'all didn't realize what happened.
What happened?
They won the toss and took the ball.
Oh, asked for the ball. Yeah, okay.
Why is that?
Because they're scared of their defense?
Correct.
You know what you shouldn't do when you get the ball, though?
Huh?
You know what throw an interception.
you shouldn't throw an interception two plays later.
We're going to give Tua the pick.
No, that's on Waddle. That was on Waddle, 100%.
I mean, the ball only hit him in his hand.
Right? Well, Leroy and Tobin. But.
So, So yeah, I get it. And when you're not, here's the difference between a good football team and a bad football team. A good football team, you get to the sideline, shake it off, guys. We got plenty of game left. We just do what we do. A bad team and fans and people watching, oh, hell, here we go again already?
Yep.
Right? The same situation or circumstance.
Crazy, man.
Why do you have to, and I always wondered this, why do you have to be better when you're worse? Right? So what I'm saying is there's mistakes happening in every game. Right? But the bad teams cannot afford them. The good teams can overcome them.
Man.
So you're required to play less or more mistake-free football than the teams who are better. It's a crazy dynamic.
Break that down again.
He's saying.
So what I'm saying is this.
No, I just, the same.
Why?
Uh-huh.
Why, if you're a bad team,
mm-hmm.
right? You are required to play more mistake-free football than a good team.
Margin for error.
Being that.
Yeah, you have a good team has a larger yes, margin
but,
for error.
But when you say a team is bad, right? What's the chance of them play mistake-free football?
They're not. That's the thing.
Right. You understand that. What you're asking for and what you're demanding.
But that's why
when
bad
you
team.
You say, oh, here we go again. Here's how we've been going but, all year.
Okay. But here's the thing, Leroy. Good teams, like you said, they shake it off. Bad teams, everything's going to linger. So one mistake, they're playing with their butt clenches. They're playing to win. They're playing not to lose or not to make a mistake. So when they say make a mistake, it lingers. Trust me, I see that every week.
Right. But isn't it weird that.
No, dude, you need to put that on a fortune cookie. Like, that was deep.
No,
it was.
It was. It was.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of yes. That's Dave, why it was
as,
good.
As Dave South says, you're a modern day Yogi Berra.
Well, I'm just saying, like, we look at this Dolphins team and get
Witcher
really upset at the mistakes that they're making with the missed tackles, with the missed sacks, with the turnovers, with the drop balls. And I'm like, yeah, that's why they're not very good, but to expect them to, you know, put it this way. Everybody has those same mistakes. I mean, when you look at the way Kansas City started the season, you're like, oh boy, this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year. Kansas City is a good football team. Well coached. They got Patrick Mahomes, and they started getting guys back. Next thing you know, they putting it on folks.
It looked like themselves.
Right. Right. And so, like, I don't know. I just get real, like, when you see what happened to Waddle and Tua the first play of the game, when you see what happened to JP towards the end of the game when you really needed a play, right? These are the things that make them 1-5. Why are we expecting them to play in those moments like, oh, we need a big play here. Let's summons up Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because that's what they do.
We'll take a break here on the show. Mixed Bag coming up next.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, it is that time, ladies and gents. The Mixed Bag. Guess familiar with Eric Spoelstra?
Yeah, yes, future U.S. men's Olympic basketball coach.
That is what he is. He is now the head coach of the U.S. men's national team for basketball. He was the assistant coach for the gold medal last year. And he will coach them now in 2028. when they are in Los Angeles.
Oh, no.
Should have remained there.
Oh, no.
What?
Leroy, you know what you're going to get for the next 2 years, right?
What?
You know what's going to happen.
Hmm?
Spo. Every summer. Little talked with whatever possible free agent that might be.
If that happens, it happens. I don't know.
You know. Spoa, you know, Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man.
There wasn't a whole bunch of people beating down the door to get to getting into San Antonio.
It's because it's San Antonio.
He's going to go crazy.
It's San Antonio.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Pop is one of the best to ever do it.
I know, but this is Tobin we're talking about. Tobin's going to Spo, the young guys that are going to be on a men's Olympic team. They're going to see each other every summer.
The seeds of the big three were planted at the Olympics.
You see?
And so, one must know, what kind of gardener is Eric Spoelstra? That's what we need to find out.
Dude, you can't.
Also,
minus
for,
one.
For
why does every bit of good information come with an angle with you?
For propaganda.
Yeah. Why, huh?
Let's hear from Eric Spoelstra, huh? What a great honor for him. Tell me how he's going to get me some whales. I mean, you know, represent our country.
You know, I've always been a fan of USAB. Of course, it's a dream, but you think it's never going to happen.
That music. Wow.
Being part of that type of legacy and being part of the Olympics was really the opportunity of a lifetime. To be able to experience it where a group really comes together with that kind of pride for your country, to be able to find a way to win the gold is amazing. It's something I'll never forget.
I'm grateful to be the head coach. I understand, you know, the expectations. There's a culture with USAB. A lot comes with that. It is surreal. I'm extremely grateful and understand the responsibility.
Wow. Man, what a video put out by the Heat. That's Goosey right there, dude.
I'm surprised he didn't do this, Vlad.
Goosey! Oh, you know. Come on, man. He's got so much Gooseys, he's going crazy.
Gooseys on Gooseys right there, dude. Yeah, wow. For America.
You know what's going to happen.
For America.
Leroy?
Why do you have the Gooseys?
Hmm? Oh, for our country, of course.
No, stop.
Heat Nation.
Stop.
You know what's going to happen?
Don't lie.
You know what's going to happen?
Don't lie.
Hmm?
Don't lie.
Leroy? Guess who was in Minnesota last year? I mean, this past summer?
I don't even know. Maybe it won't be in there. Maybe it'll be Cooper Flagg at that point.
You know,
who knows?
It's going to be someone. Whoever the big free agent that's going to be on the men's national team.
Hard to say.
You know? Jason Tatum. You know?
Tate Stop says Spo is going to put Drew Smith on Team USA.
Mark.
Point for Twitcher.
And Marco's going to lose his mind.
But it's a great honor for him, man. Congratulations.
Yeah,
to Spo.
It is. Yeah, he gets, they'll officially, I think, introduce him today at 2 down at the arena before the red, white, and pink
game.
It's
crazy because,
you know, Bam's
on the
team.
When you think about, when you think about Pop, Spo is respected that way throughout the league also.
Well, he's already been named the best coach in this season.
Right. Even with his couple of hiccups.
Even when he didn't call the timeout when he didn't have one.
It was a stressful year last year, you know? Everyone's 0-1, I guess.
I mean, that last year was, you just throw it away. Cause
you throw it away, and then you're
I was willing to throw it away, but you kept with the Heat and 5, even after they had 37 wins.
I didn't say that. I don't recall that.
Of course you don't recall it.
What do you mean you don't recall? Everything's always Heat and 5. What is wrong with you can't recall? Minus one for you for trying to say that you don't recall.
Minus one.
Yeah.
For fraudulence. 37
and 45, and he was like, Heat and 5. We got Jimmy back. We moved on. Like, yeah.
The year before, I thought Heat and 5 with Jimmy back, but he got hurt. Stupid Kelly Oubre's leg. Never know. Changed the course of history, you know?
So, question.
What?
How much different is this team going to look without Jimmy, since we are now running instead of doing more?
Well, that's assuming that we're running. That's what they tell me. Everybody says they're going to run. I mean, every team's like, I haven't seen one article that said, you know what we're going to be? More methodical this year.
I hope they make threes, man. They ain't got to be great at it. They just can't be 3 and 30.
You're not kidding. Let's hear from Zach.
I mean, 10 to 30, they win that game going away. And that's only 33%.
I mean, it's
right?
It's,
that's crazy.
It's incredible. Zach Sealer, not very good this year. He's frustrated with the Dolphins' record.
I mean, I'm frustrated. Like, we're 1-5 right now. We need to start building together on everything we just talked about and really kind of just pull these wins in and you start building. You go 1-0 this week and just go from there.
Man's
wins?
Man's man.
Get one.
Yeah, just get one.
Get one. We're going to get one.
He says that the Dolphins have to stop beating themselves.
You know, this now, goes you know back what terrifies to when I was first me? In the league and first through, I mean, from Harbaugh to Flo to McDaniel is you can't win until you stop from beating yourself. And we got to make sure we hone in on the little things. And because guess what? Other teams are paid too. They got great teams. Every across the NFL, I don't care what the team's record is, they are capable of winning games. We see it every year. So we now got to get good at the little things where if they make that play, we have enough of a leeway or enough of a resolve to be able to still win the game and get through those ebbs and flows of the game is how I tell guys. That's what we're saying right now is what do we need to do to dial in the little things to make it so we can handle if someone breaks a tackle or whatever that it's going to be all right. We can take it on the chin and keep playing and finish the game with a win.
They may all be paid, but not as can much I... as you are.
Hey.
What kid said that?
Do you want me to tell you what's going to happen?
Yeah, sure.
And everybody's going to be terrified.
Hmm?
One, Myles Garrett will line across from Savaii Nye.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And two, he will line up on the same side as Savaii Nye, and they're going to run a ET stunt? Twist. Yeah, which is going to put Myles Garrett on Savaii Nye with no help. Hmm. So, I'm just telling you, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, no.
Because they move Myles Garrett around.
Dude, Myles Garrett's the one that he could end careers.
I'm just telling you that.
Is Tua ended up in the graveyard?
I think the kid from the Chargers is actually leading the league in sacks.
Who?
The one that just ran right by Savaii Nye?
No, I think it's somebody from Denver. I think Nick Bottino is leading the league in sacks.
Yeah, but they're both real. They're, you know, neck and neck.
Right.
But now take that guy, make him 2 inches taller and 60 pounds heavier. With the same speed, the same quickness, the same.
And miserable, by the way, too. He's just miserable. Yeah, and so he's going to take his anger out on somebody because he's just miserable.
He's
going
to be like, well, I might as well go out here and get 6 sacks.
You know what's going to happen.
Remember when he requested a trade and they're just like, how about more money?
Yo, you're talking about last summer, right?
Yeah, last summer. He wrote a letter and everything. How much money did they have to give him to just be like, please don't?
40, like 30 49.
A year?
No, it was like 40, right? He cracked the 40 mark.
Yeah,
yeah,
it might even be 40.
He
was the highest paid non-quarterback until Michael signed his deal.
You know what's going to happen, right?
What?
Dolphins luck is the Shedeur Sanders saga begins against the Dolphins. I'm not going to rule it out. Something happens to Dylan Gabriel, and then Shedeur comes in, and then Shedeur
does. No, he's not the backup quarterback, though.
He is. He was named number two.
He was last week.
He was number two last week.
Okay. Yeah, he was last week.
I would just say this. Everybody's made a big deal about Shedeur not playing. And the one thing that I'll say about coaches, I don't care what their situation is, right? You are doing your team a disservice if you holding somebody back that's better. Right? I believe that. So when Dylan Gabriel is the quarterback, I'm going to say Kevin Stefanski said, I think this guy gives us the best chance to win. Because if he played somebody that didn't give him the best chance to win, then he should be given his papers right away. Because now you're doing a disservice to the other guys on the field.
I'll tell you who's a backup to nobody when it comes to cleaning your laundry.
Oh, yeah.
That's our great friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners, dude. For the best dry cleaning in South Florida, use our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. The owners are. That's our guy. You guys can call or text him anytime at 954-610-9383. That's 954-610-9383. It's the fall season, Halloween time. That Miles Garrett, he wears a scary costume when he goes to those games. He's got that QB graveyard.
Is Tua on that jacket?
I don't know. I don't know if he is or not. I'm not quite sure. Hopefully he can avoid it for this week. But you guys got to get your costumes repaired. Maybe you got a masquerade ball. You got these fall parties. You got autumn weddings. Let A&T Dry Cleaners have your wardrobe looking right. Maybe those family get-togethers for the holidays, Leroy. A&T Dry Cleaners, always trusted.
They've been around for 40 years. They can do same-day sewing. They have a seamstress on site that's ours mother, so you're getting that good motherly care. She knows how to take care of you. They service all of South Florida. They Broward and Southern Palm Beach County, and they can pick up and drop off your orders. Ira's a fan of the show. He likes to hook up our people. So if you give Ira a call, tell him, mention Tobin and Leroy's name, you'll get 25% off. 25% off.
It's good.
Hey, everything helps nowadays.
Yep.
Just call or text Ira at 954-610-9383 at any time. And once you use A&T Dry Cleaners, you'll never launder your own clothes again.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.